Time to look ahead to October 14th. That would be Election Day here in Louisiana. There are a number of races that are going to be very hotly contested, and I would argue that we're about to dive into one of them. That would be the state representative for District 66. Emily Chenevier is running, joins us now. Emily, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you on. Glad to be talking, and I apologize in advance because this is obviously, as this goes out over the air, we're a little bit distorted this morning.
It's so totally fine.
We will plow through it.
Do our best.
The good news is when it's posted on demand to talk1073.com later on, it'll sound perfectly crystal clear. So
perfect.
Yes. Okay. Let's get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
We've had you on before, but for those that don't know, who is Emily Chenevier?
Well, it's a joy to be here. And for the listeners, like you said, who do not know me, I'm born and raised in Louisiana. I am from Leesville, Louisiana, Vernon Parish area. That area has been fighting a lot of fires currently today. So grew up there, great family, it's a military town. So I had a great respect always for just supporting our military and troops. I think just being raised around Fort Polk area, which is now, sure, I believe, maybe Fort Johnson. I can't remember the name change. Yeah. But went to LSU, graduated in mass communications, the Banship School, mm-hmm, and worked right in, kind of stepped into working at WBRZ. When I first got out of school, and loved storytelling, enjoyed the newsroom, very fast-paced. Started as an intern, and then kind of got my first little job and working with Todd and Whitney when they were doing the morning show back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And so I helped kind of like a daytime kind of producer, helping doing like just booking the show, making sure they had what they need the next day. Went out on some stories when needed, right, when we needed all hands on deck. That kind of started me within media communications, and then worked at Healing Place Church for some years and doing, communications director and doing all kinds of things there and media production, and then went to film school after that. Just wanted to kind of do something different and learn a little bit more about filmmaking process. Went to New York, stayed there for about a year, always with intentions to come back here, and started working in the film industry here as a production coordinator on some very large films and line producer, production manager. So my background has always been this media storytelling, people business kind of thing, just from a visual standpoint, and always, sure, loved that. And then also worked in like as a assistant film commissioner for the city for a short stint under Kip Holden for a very, very short time, and communications director for an human trafficking organization to fight trafficking and sex trafficking among children and women. And so that got me to really kind of use something I'm very passionate about and communicating to people about that issue during that time. So I've always been in that communications world, I guess you'd say, right? And that, yeah. And then honestly, met my husband here. We actually met at a Bible study that I was leading, and he came in, and then he had two beautiful children. We have two more together. We have four children total, and just blessed. And then really the last few years, I was just been paying so much attention, honestly, Brian, about just the world that we're in. You, mm-hmm, know, when you have two small kids,
yeah,
you start to think differently about your surroundings.
Very much so.
Your city, your state. And I love this state. And I am a very, I would say, more positive person with an outlook where it's like, I know we are fighting a lot of issues in our state. People are leaving.
Yeah.
Things are happening. But I think that our best years and best days are ahead of us. And I just think we got to elect people that can keep that messaging there, but also do the hard things that we need to do right at the Capitol.
What are some of the hard things?
Man, I just think, I'm knocking on doors and I'm talking to constituents all the time, and I'm hearing what their concerns are. And it's a lot of what I have on my platform about education and jobs and economy is a massive one. They're so concerned about people leaving our state in groves. They're concerned of like, no one's coming here when you've got people that are leaving other states because of economic downturn, because of, whether it's lack of freedoms, but they're somehow bypassing Louisiana. They're, yep, going other places. So that's a problem. It's a problem when our own kids are leaving. I was knocking on a door and one person was like, man, my grandkids are not, they're not here. They left for more opportunity, for, sure, more economic opportunity, because schools are better in another state. And they feel like, and that's a problem whenever these people that live in these houses for 30 years,
right,
but their kids aren't staying. So we've got to look at some of those issues. I mean, taxation, if you're looking at some of the states that were surrounding us, whether it be income tax for businesses, whether it's what's going on with franchise tax, like we're not going to tax our way into prosperity. And I think that's something that we need to look at. What are we going to do better?
We're talking with Emily Chenevier, running for a state representative in District 66. Okay. There's a lot to unpack there. I don't know where to start.
There's a lot.
Let's start on the education front.
Yep. Yep.
You are a big proponent of school choice.
I am. Sure. I am. I'm a big proponent of that.
We're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another gear we can reach when it comes to school choice?
I think that there is, if we look at how the money follows the child and not necessarily the system. And I think that, you know, there's a way of, you know, building strong, having strong community schools, but every child learns differently. And I think that if we could do an ESAs and education savings accounts or ways where not just for some children, but for all children, where if a parent decides, you know what, I want a faith-based element in my education system, I'm paying property taxes here. Why can't I have a percentage of that really going towards my private education, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Imagine like they're doing in some other states where they're leading the charge on that, not just for some kids, right, but for really all kids, you know? I think that's what we need to do.
So you're talking to a guy who has three kids in Catholic school.
Right.
So, yeah, winning. But there are times where, you know, I've got this job at two side hustles. My wife's got a full-time job and a side gig as well. And, like, there are times where it's burdensome. Mm-hmm. We don't take European vacations, to be sure. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, there's times like last week where we look at the public school system and we say, totally worth it.
Right.
That being said, right, a little bit of help wouldn't hurt.
Right. You know, and I think the thing is that we have in our district and talking to parents, it comes up a lot in knocking on doors. It comes up a lot about our schools. And, you know, I always compare it to, I've said this before on the campaign trail, but a sister, she moved to Birmingham and they were here. And so they were like, man, their public school system in that area is like a private school. And it's so supportive in the community. So it's just like, I feel like we got a pay raise whenever we move because we were able to do that. And so I want to say my mother was in public education and I believe there's some phenomenal leaders and teachers in the public school. So I am for all opportunities for children. That's all a part of school choice, right? It's that it's not just one avenue. And I think that's what's critical when we're talking about education.
No, absolutely. And by the way, just full disclosure, my mother's still in public education.
Yes.
She's still teaching in a public school here in Baton Rouge. So
yes.
This isn't a knock on teachers.
No, not at all.
The system, the overall system.
Correct.
It's been so it's been so morphed and changed and just distorted over the years. It's hard to keep up with.
It is. And I'm a public school graduate. I graduated from Leesville High School, like mm-hmm. community school, right? My children go to a great charter school here in Baton Rouge. So I just think we've got to have those options for parents.
So when it comes to teachers, you say on your flyer, mm-hmm. You want to empower teachers and support parental rights. I think parental rights is pretty self-explanatory.
It is.
If it's not, look up the last time she was on with us. But empower teachers. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, so I think teachers, I think, you know, sometimes when you put those two things together in some capacities, people are like, oh, you're all about the parent and you just think that teachers have no position. And it's just, that can be further from the truth, right? I think that, you know, what teachers are making and the cost of paying what teachers, like their salaries, we've got to keep, it's a constant conversation. Look, that's a bigger conversation within, I'm not in the capital yet of like the privies of the budget and where every dollar is going and how can we adjust that? But I think that our teacher pay is a big deal. I think, you know, we've got to recruit. The other thing is empowering people where they feel like it is a great option to step into when they mm-hmm. get out of high school and college. What are we doing for that next generation who they're like, man, it's hard in the classroom or gosh, it's just things have changed in the classroom. That's what teachers of years are telling me when I knock on doors. Like, man, I've been teaching for so many years. It's just the classroom dynamic is shifting. So I just think it's something we've got to keep it on the forefront of our thinking every single day as a legislator of that for our kids, you know?
We've got too much to cover.
I know.
Diving in on this.
I know.
But we got, so this isn't your last time here.
Yeah.
No, we'll be making the rounds for sure. Let's move over to jobs real quick because you mentioned out migration. And, you know, a great example right now is Silicon Valley is no longer Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. Those jobs are leaving, going elsewhere, and they're mm-hmm. passing us by in large part. They're going to Florida. They're going to Texas. They're going to Tennessee. And they're about to start going to Mississippi as well. The common denominator here is a lack of income tax.
Right.
This isn't. We've had Richard Nelson on before he was running for governor. This was his baby. This mm-hmm. is what he wanted to do. And he ran into so many brick walls mm-hmm. along the way mm-hmm. where we are content with the broken system we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can we break through that wall?
Ugh, you know what? It's challenging and right now and not, again, being in the midst of all of the dynamic. But I will say this is that, you know, the part of people looking over Louisiana, I think one of our greatest assets we have in this state are our people. Mm-hmm. It's our faith. It's the things that people really love about, like, being in this state. The taxation is a big deal, though. I mean, if you're starting a business and And people say, oh, it's just a little bit. It makes a big difference when you're adding on federal tax and state taxes and all these other taxes, and you're looking for a place to go. It matters. And then when you're looking at that as an option, and then you're looking, okay, what's the crime? What's the overall crime in a state? So I just feel like the business proponent is, I think if you can really help with the education and really help with the crime element, and obviously taxation, I think the businesses will come. I think if you build the system that they love, but what is it, old school, build it and they will come, yes. Right? If you make it where it's so business friendly, they're going to have a hard time moving away from Louisiana.
Emily Chenevier is running for state representative in District 66. Let's talk about that crime. And this is something that I've talked about a lot on this show. What's the state's role here?
I mean, I look, for me personally, in talking to people about this issue, I think that we've got to make sure that our messaging is very, very, for lack of a better term, I say friendly. You got people that are going to be stepping into wanting to be a police officer right now. In the last 8 to 10 years, what have they been hearing, right? Yeah. They've been hearing messaging about, let's defund the police. We need to think of a new way of policing. My concern is that we've got to build upon our strong police force. We've got to make sure they have what they need. We've got to make sure, I know, look, this year, I believe it was a law enforcement recruitment incentive program that passed. Yeah. And so that's a start, right? An incentive of $5,000 trying to get them to come here as long as they stay for 2 years. That's a huge win for this year. So just keep building upon those things to incentivize people to come here, because, you know, that's some, and again, it goes back to education. What if a police officer knew his kids, or he's going to build a family here, and he knew that he could live in the city and he could have an option and have some, you know, an education savings account, money to go towards his kids' education, where maybe the salary's not what he wanted, but he's getting a break, right, on education. Mm-hmm. So I think it all works hand in hand, but that is something from a state level. We've got to incentivize, and we've got to make sure our messaging from a state is that we want you here. We want to build a state where we are going to be, you know, tough on crime, and we want to make sure that we're going to support our police.
We've got 1 minute left. In that 1 minute, you talked about trafficking a minute ago. I think the state would have a pretty significant role there. What would be your plan that you would have in place for your first session?
Are you talking about just
human trafficking?
Human trafficking. Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, Louisiana, I'll be honest, across the nation, it ranks very, very high in that.
And for good reason. We've got that artery going right through us.
And that's people don't always understand that I-10, I-12 corridor, there's a reason where, when I was interviewing victims of human trafficking and they're talking about, hey, I'm in Houston, and then I'm going and servicing a lot of clients, quote, in Louisiana, and it's in the I-10, I-12 corridor. I think it's the more you know, right, you can inform people, let them know what to look for. Look, I used to speak to state troopers. I used to speak to police officers about things to look for whenever you're on the road. So things like that, of that nature. I think obviously legislation make it harder for people to be able to do those types of things in our state, obviously, right. Attacking that and attacking the demand of it a little bit. And I think you can really fight it a little bit tougher.
She is Emily Chenevier, running for state representative in District 66. How's the campaign been going?
Good.
Does it feel good knocking on doors?
It feels awesome knocking on doors. I really like people. And that sounds crazy. I love meeting people. I'm trying to be there when they're home. I want to hear what their concerns are. You know, I want to make sure I represent our district well. I want to communicate in a clear way with them once I'm elected of the issues that they care about, bringing that to the Capitol. And I just love meeting people.
First of numerous conversations on the way up to October 14th. By the way, if you are running for any office, you need to hit us up. The floor is open. You've got a microphone at your convenience. Emily, I appreciate a couple minutes.
Thank you so much.